Let's go to the scriptures. First Peter is where we were last week and will be again today. First Peter, if you'll turn to First Peter chapter 2. How many understand that created in God's image, you are a choosing being? You make choices in your life. Nobody understands that. You made a choice to get here and come to church this morning, didn't you? And some of you are looking at me like, you should have known what kind of choice that was. Be grateful. You made a choice to come to church. You made a choice to get up. You made a choice to wear what you're wearing. You made a choice. And making right and godly choices is based upon having right images and beliefs of who you are in the Lord. We spoke last week. I said making right and godly choices is so often based upon knowing who you are in the Lord. Right thoughts, right images, right beliefs. Why do you turn to the Scripture as a Christian? Why do you go to the Word of God? Because you want to take a look at what is it God says, what am I supposed to do, but also what am I in Him? What am I as a Christian? What kind of person am I supposed to be in? What kind of attitudes am I supposed to have? And what kind of thoughts? And Lord, what's the claim that you have on my life? And how can I live in such a way to please you? Anybody in this room want to please the Lord? Isn't that why we're here? Sure. So we stay in the Word of God. It's with the Bible, you know, it's not, well, I read it 20 years ago to have to look at it again because the same words are in there. One of the reasons we talk so much about being in the Word every single day. The Scripture talks about being washed by the water of the Word. Washed, cleansed, having your soul cleansed, your mind changed. The Bible talks about being conformed, what? To the, say it with me, image of His Son. And being transformed. Transformed. Some of us were around power outages this week and transformers blew. Anyway, being transformed. It's different. I just threw that in for free and wasn't even funny. So being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So God's interested in our minds, isn't He? Being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So what you think, what you believe, what's in your heart, what's in your attitudes, those things come leaping out of your life in everyday choices. So when we are washed by the water of the Word, praise God, well-worn, falls open. This man must read the Word. He's on a royal journey. He reads the Bible. But you get yourself into the Word of God every day, and you get reminded, anybody besides me get convicted when you read the Word of God? Oh, man. Okay, Lord, I repent of that. I repent of that attitude. I repent of that thought, whatever it might be. But I look into the Word to see who? Jesus. And who else? Me. And the way I'm supposed to be. So I read the Word of God. It gives me right images. Right pictures. That's how I'm supposed to look as a Christian. Right beliefs. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to act like. I see it. Right images. Right beliefs. Right heart. Transformed mind. And then when the next test comes, anybody in this room say, tests come? Come on. Yeah. Come on, if you're louder than that. Amen. Yeah. Preach it, Southern. Amen. Yeah. Tests come all the time, don't you know? Yeah. Come on, it's Christmas time. Just preach a nice Christmas message. Let us go home. Tests come all the time. And things where the Lord allows to prove to me that I can pass those tests. He doesn't give you, you know, when you were in school, Elaine, when you were in third grade, did you have to take a 12th grade test? No, because you couldn't pass that one. But when you're in 12th grade, you had to pass the 12th grade test. Notice in Washington State right now, you have to take the WASL. How many are glad you're not in high school right now? But you know what they're saying, some of the kids have flunked the test. Well, we'll let that one go this year. We'll let them graduate. But you got to take plenty of math. You know, there's a whole learning process. There's a learning process going on. But there's a time of study and a time of growth and a time of learning. Then there's a test. But the Lord only allows you to take a test. What is it, Pastor Carl? To prove you. To prove that you can pass to prove what you know. That's right. So tests come in life. Now, we were in 1 Peter last week, and we're going to go to the same scriptures again. We're going to go to, what is it? What is it? Oh, okay. I can see if you're telling a joke to each other, so don't do that. I'll call on you. But last week we were in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We're going to go there again. But remember, last week we set a context. What's the context of 1 Peter? Peter, the father's heart, a shepherd, a pastor, an apostle, and the people of God have been discouraged, and they're under fire. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that tries you. And that spoke specifically of Christians burning at Nero's stake, lit up as torches at night. When Rome burned, and then he turned and blamed the Christians, it was Nero's fault. But he began a persecution of Christians, and he put Christians alive on torches and set them aflame. And the night was full of screams and terrors, but it was well lit. And Peter writes, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which has come to test you, to prove you. Peter's writing to a people scattered, discouraged, spread abroad. And he's writing to Asia Minor, to Turkey. And he's writing to these places saying, hang in there, church. It's a time of suffering. Suffering's all the way through the book of 1 Peter. But here's who you are in Christ. Why did he remind them of who they were? Right images, right beliefs, out of which spring right actions. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't worry. If they take your life, they can't take your soul. They can't destroy your soul. Nero can burn you on a stake, but he can't burn your soul. Jesus loves you. You belong to him. You're his. Here's what you are. And what you are is worth so much more than what you used to be. Come on, church, can you say amen? What you are is worth so much more than what you used to be. Now, some of you sitting in the room can say, oh, no, I was hot stuff. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says not many of you were hot stuff. You were this and this and losers and sinners and rotten and smelled. You don't talk like that in church, do you? Turn to each other and say, you smell nice now. And pray that it's true. You're just praying that it's true, aren't you? Yeah. But here's what you are, and what you are now is worth so much more than what you used to be. How can Christians in that day go through the suffering, the persecution? They didn't know if their family would be there when they got home out of working in the fields. They didn't know if they were going to make it through the night. They didn't know. How come? And baby Christians, new Christians, come to Jesus all over the place, flooding into the church. And Paul's got a shepherd's heart, and Peter's got a shepherd's heart, and he's writing these letters to say, don't give up. Walking with Jesus is so much better than what you used to have. And the inheritance and the glory that's to come is worth so much more than the suffering you're going through right now. Don't give up, church. Here's what God's made you. And you look at that, and as a young Christian, you go, I can do this. I can make this. If you've ever read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, why would Christians fight over the opportunity? No, no, no. I'll go in and face the lions. Not you. It's my turn. Can you even imagine that? Now, look, we live in a society where the anthem is, you know, this is old, but Frank Sinatra saying, I did it my way. You know, we live for ourselves, and self is God and king in America, right? Come on, say amen or oh no. I don't hear any oh no's. That's right. Self. Can you imagine anybody fighting over the opportunity to take someone's place before the lions in the Colosseum? But church, ask yourself, why? What was working inside of them that made them able to do it? Jesus. who had transformed them out of darkness into his great light, who had forgiven, delivered, ministered, given hope, given resurrection life, given a reason for eternity someday, but life now full of forgiveness. Come on, church, how many like having shame off your shoulders? Amen. Anybody in this room ever sin? I think I can get a few people here. Yeah. You know what comes along with sin? Guilt. Shame. And those are fun. No, but you know what we've taught people in America now? Oh, that's just from unfortunate social upbringing. You should feel no shame. You go right ahead and do any sin you want. It's okay. And what you have is a whole lot of, unless they've seared their conscience, you got a whole lot of guilty, shameful sinners who don't know how to get free. But in the day that Peter wrote, these people got that shame off their back. They got that guilt off their back. They didn't have to have some Gnostic God or Stoic God, far away, even present, didn't care, no emotion, doesn't know you personally. They didn't have the Jewish God. Couldn't know him, just do the law, just go to the temple at the right time, just take the right bull across the street if you've got to do the sacrifice. What they found was a God who looked into their face and a Jesus who looked inside of every one of their lives and said, I love you and I know who you are. Aren't you glad? Yes. Come on, punch each other's arms. Hey, aren't you glad? I'm glad. Knows the number of hairs on your head. Knows the number of hairs on your head. And That's right. He's got our tears and our hairs put in a bottle somewhere. No. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. But there's your context. Right images, right beliefs that give you right heart attitudes, change who you are. And then when the test comes, enables and empowers you to make the right choice. Are you choosing people here today? Are you making the right choices? I don't know, Pastor Kent, just read the Bible, okay? All right. Yes, we are. The Bible says you're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the blending. Remember, we talked about blending the responsibility, holiness, with the authority and the blessing and the privilege, priesthood. Let's listen to the scriptures. Verses 5 through 10. I'm reading from the New King James. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. What kind of house? Say it with me. A holy priesthood. Why? What's that priesthood for? What we did here all morning this morning. To offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices. The Bible talks about lift up holy hands. The Bible talks about declare your praise. Sing, lift up your voice, make a joyful noise. I may not be a great singer, but I sure can make a lot of joyful noise. All right? Spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through who? There's nothing unclear about that, is there? Through Jesus Christ we come. Verse 6, therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to, amen. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. To those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Church, tell me why. All around the world, they don't have to be taught this, but it's inculcated in culture. Why all around the world will they allow, and even especially in America right now, they'll allow discussion on any religion on the face of the earth, but you bring up Jesus Christ in a context other than a swear word, you get the stares and demand and silence. We got a culture throwing away our right to be Christians. Stand up and be counted, church. You don't have to be arrogant and pompous, but you can be straight and strong. We stand for something, stand for Jesus, and we stand for the Bible, and we stand for the word of truth. And I'm not going to throw away my opportunity to declare his word. We could go a long time on that one, couldn't we? How many of you understand that in our American culture, from George Washington on, it didn't matter if you were an atheist, it didn't matter if you were a deist, it didn't matter if you were, even there's been a Mormon in Congress, they have all put their hands on the Bible as part of our culture and our tradition, and now somebody is demanding to put his hand on the Quran. Church, I'm against it. Pastor Kev, why are you going into politics? I'm going into our rights to stand up for Christians. If you don't know what you stand for, you're going to fall for anything. And we are throwing away our rights to stand before God. I don't care if you even just see the Bible as a history book. That's our history book. Okay, preach it, Pastor Kev. Now, what did the Bible say? Let's go on. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Verse 9. Let's say it together. Whatever translation you have, read out loud with me, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That reminds me of Billy Crystal. Absolutely marvelous. His marvelous light. Who were once not a people, verse 10, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained. Now have obtained what? Mercy. Now have obtained mercy. We've talked before about what's grace? Getting a gift that you don't deserve. What's mercy? Not getting what you do deserve. Mercy. Not getting what you do deserve. How many of you understand sinners deserve what? Hell. But by the grace of God, we are saved by faith through his name, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Understand it. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The reality is when you accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you're washed clean by the blood of Jesus, you are his, and aren't you glad to be his by grace? Mercy. I didn't get the hell that I deserve. But what does it mean to be a royal priesthood? How do I function when times are tough? How do I stand, endure, continue? We talked last week just a bit about the books in the Bible that flow together with these themes, Ephesians, Colossians, Hebrews. All of these books, in addition to 1 Peter, deal with the fact that Jesus is superior. And he was reminding, they were reminding their readers, it's not Gnosticism, it's not Stoicism, it's not other demonic religions, the culture of the day, the Roman gods who were lewd and lascivious and some of the Greek culture gods who were destructive and terrible. It's not that. It's Jesus Christ. And he's superior in every way. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus in your life superior to what you had before you gave your life to him? In every way. Again, it's all part of knowing who are you in Jesus, what gives you right images and beliefs that lead to your being able to be empowered to make those right choices. Peter was teaching them about their inheritance to come, their glorious inheritance as believers. And he was saying, okay, pursue holiness, being sanctified, being changed by the word. But don't give up. Don't give up. You're a royal priesthood. Royal. Holy. The Greek word royal is basileos, and it literally means kingly. Now, in our culture, we teach people evolution. You came from nothing. And we teach people that abortion's fine. It's just a mass of meaningless tissue. And we wonder why our children who are inbred with a spirit regarding evolution act out the way they do. Because the truth is, it's different when they've got right images and beliefs and they're told, cease from the time before time even began for you, God knew you. You are created in His image. God breathed over you. You belong to Him. He created you. He fashioned you in your mother's womb. He called you with a purpose for your life. Now, church, there's a difference in how you act when you know and you believe and you have right images over the fact, God created me. I'm not a massive flab. Well, I might be, but I'm not. I'm not just a massive tissue. I'm not just a meaningless blob. Even though some Sunday afternoons you might see me like that. I'm not just that. There's a purpose to my life. You think we allow ourselves to think in our culture what we teach doesn't matter, but what you believe determines how you live. And understanding what the Bible says about you leads to what you do. It's crucial. You should have seen the smile on Cease's face as I was just reminding him of what God created him to be. Church, isn't that what church is all about? That's why the Bible says, don't deny the gathering together of the saints. We get together, we have opportunity to come, have Bible study and share it. Look at each other and say, no, you're holy, you're God's man, you're God's woman. Don't you know He created you? You don't have to give in to the temptation. You don't have to yield to the flesh. You don't have to run away in shame and discouragement. Don't give up. God loves you. Isn't that what coming to church is all about? We could do a few sermons, teach a little sermonette, and have you go out the door as a little Christianette, and it won't keep you because the tests aren't testettes. The tests are real. And the pressures. Listen, church, why am I saying some of these dumb things that some people might consider politics this morning? Because the tests are real, and they war for people's souls and minds. And if you believe the truth, you can stand on the truth. And if you don't, well, what's wrong? You can do anything you want to America. Doesn't matter. Doesn't bother me. Do you understand that there are different ideologies all around the world that have declared they intend to take over, no matter what generation it is, long way down the road, they intend to take over our nation without firing a shot. You take little Froggy, and you put them in the water. And you just let it be cold. Nothing different. Just like the water Mr. Foggy's used to. You just turn up the heat a little bit at a time. You got steam heat. You got steam heat. I thought you all know that song. How come nobody sang along? Because you're being foolish enough by yourself. Just go right ahead. You just turn up a little bit at a time. Just a little mixture. It doesn't matter, does it? It's just a little. Nobody sees. You know that argument I want to engage you in before church? Nobody sees. Because when we get to church, it's, hi, how are you? You ever notice how you can really be duking it out? Oh, no, 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 phone rings. Hi, how are you? Good to hear from you. You make choice, right? But we just turn up the heat a little at a time. A little, just a little bit. Mr. Froggy's going, I'm comfy. And pretty soon after a while, he's frog legs. Church, standing for the truth. Reading your Bible. Having right images and beliefs, having a right heart in Christ, encouraging each other in fellowship, standing together, encouraging each other every opportunity you get. It's all crucial. Church. Oh, it's just a saving station. Just preached John 3:16 and 17. I try to quote it every Sunday. Sneaked it in this morning too, didn't I? Huh? Try to quote it every Sunday. But it's just a saving station. Oh? Church. It's a growing place where you give establishment to believers. Amen. Church, where you equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Amen. Church, evangelism is included. Church, deliverance, hope, healing, life. community, vibrancy. Real Christianity lives with real people to help them know a real God to stand strong during real times of suffering. Church, more real than ever before. Now you tell me, you don't want that. You're welcome here. You can attend all you want. We love you here. But you want to grow? Hang around. We'll try our best to just kind of rub off on you. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Jesus is here. Listen, guys, not many people may know, we've talked about this before, but in the Old Testament, Israel was called to be the chosen people. Message title is A Chosen People. I say that for Dan. Dan goes, what's he talking about this morning? Chosen people. Israel was called to be a chosen people. But you read your Bible. Did they love being the chosen people? They did at first. Did they like to proclaim they were the chosen people? Did they stay the chosen people? You know, the bottom line is this. Bottom line is this. You want to be the chosen people? You got to make a choice. God chooses those who choose Him. Amen. Look at each other and say, God chooses those who choose Him. God chooses those who choose Him. In the Old Testament, when Israel got far enough away from God, on the one day a year when the high priest would go in and go to the most holy place, remember down at the bottom of their robes, if you recall your biblical history, bottom of the robes, there were little bells, right? The tinkling of the bells. They became so unholy that the priest had a rope tied around his waist. And when he would go into the most holy place, God would strike him dead. Because of the sin. And when the bells would stop tinkling, they knew they had to pull on the rope and pull the high priest out. The Bible says sin brings death. Look, church, you're not saved as a Christian because you go to church. You're not saved as a Christian because you grew up in a nice family. You're not saved as a Christian because you don't swear. Those are all good things. Okay? You're saved by grace through faith when you have surrendered your life personally to Jesus Christ. When you have invited Him to be your Lord and Savior, but not just for salvation. What is salvation? Not just getting saved for fire insurance, but it's a whole life transformation. Oh, God, change me. I want You and I want to be just like You. I make a choice. Royal priesthood. It means invested with kingly power and honor, a kingdom of priests with access to God. And church, you're important to God. Right image, right belief. You're important to God. I'm having you talk a lot this morning, aren't I? Why are you guys talking so much? No, I'm kidding. Turn to each other. Say, you're important to God. You're royalty. You're royalty. You're royalty. You're royalty. You're a royal priesthood. You all know about William and Harry. Yeah, William and Harry in England. Yeah, they have to go into the service. But how many of you think their superior officers, though they treat them like everyone else, understand their royalty? Listen, guys. Know who you are in Christ. Royalty. Priesthood. By the way, just for free, let's throw this in here. Royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. Chosen generation. Royal priesthood. Does the Bible say only males are part of the royal priesthood? So the issue of what can women be priests is already settled, right? Oh, some of you, you're neither male nor female, but you're all heirs together of the grace of life. You know, I'm mixing a few verses. Listen, church. Men and women are anointed by the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come over and say, okay, here's the male anointing for you. Here's the female anointing for you. Same Holy Spirit. Amen. Preach it, Pastor Jim. Go for it. Yeah. Oh. Okay, good. That was just a little free thing. Okay. What does it mean to be a chosen people? And you can look at me and say, we've been waiting for quite a while to figure it out. Chosen people. Eklektos. Eklektos. It's cool. You're going to enjoy this. I hope so. Eklektos. It means, drum roll. It means you're God's favorite. Select. Are you telling me you think you're God's favorite? When I choose Him, I'm part of His favorites. When I yield, when I surrender, literally, chosen generation. Generation means kin. Literally, in the Greek, nenios. Chosen generation, you are God's favorite offspring, next of kin. You know why that's important? Listen, I know I'm overemphasizing this, but this is crucial. If I'm getting ready to go down to the corner bar and lay one on, and you remind me, wait a minute, you're God's next of kin, you're His favorite, what are you doing going in there? You think that might affect what I do? I hope so too, Royal. Listen, church, being reminded of who we are. Peter's looking at the suffering people scattered across the map, and these churches where all the churches, or at least a lot of them that Paul had done, and Peter ministered to them too. These people are scattered, and it's hot, and it's difficult, and it's suffering, and it's persecution. And he says, look, don't give up. You have surrendered to God. You've made a choice. You're His chosen people. He's chosen you because you've chosen Him. You're His next of kin. You're His favorites, part of His favorites. Don't give up. And sometimes you feel like leaning forward and saying, if this is how He treats His favorites, but church, if you've chosen Him, He has chosen you. Don't give up. What do I see? What do I believe about me and my walk with Him? He's saying, listen, don't give up. You're God's. Not you are God, but you belong to God. There's a whole doctrine in itself. Okay, you're God's favorite offspring. You are God's chosen ones, chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Listen, out of the message. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work, to speak out for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference He made for you. You went from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. What can make a hurting people still want to walk with God in the midst of a hurting time, knowing that no matter what you experience, your God still loves you? No matter how tough it is out there, Michael, in the business world, trying to get a bread and pastry business started and running, and no matter what you're experiencing in real estate or the lack thereof, no matter what you're going through in the banking business and people cranky because this is what, George? Just kidding. No matter what, when you have a daughter who's ill and a friend that you valued your entire adult life going through difficulty, no matter what, God still loves you. Peter's writing this book saying, I know it's tough, but you chosen Him, and He has chosen you. He has not forgotten you. You're His. To stop long enough to let it sink in, say with me, I am His. Now, how does that impact how you're going to live today? Let's stand. We'll pick up where we left off next week, and we'll go on being a chosen people. But I think the most important thing to rehearse today is the fact that what you believe will lead you to what you live. Right and healthy images of who you are in Jesus, of who He is, and how much He loves you will help you have victory in the presence of God today. Elaine, would you come, please? Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
A chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation. Lord, we thank you for what you've made us, how you've called us to be your own. And Lord Jesus, how you have taken us from a lump of nothing, lost in shame, and made us a people filled with your life, cleansed, washed clean by your grace. Lord, we didn't deserve it. We thank you for your mercy today. Can you thank him, church? Thank you, Lord, for your mercy today. For your love. Thank you for growing us up to make us like you. Lord, I just see in my mind's eye this aged apostle who loved the church and loved these people. And just so much in his heart was saying, don't give up. You're God's people. Don't give up. He's chosen you. Don't give up your royalty. You're next to kin. You're God's favorite offspring. Let that enable you to have some peace and victory in the Lord today. And in fact, some joy. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Spirit. Now, when you go out of here today, I pray your countenance reflects the glory of the Lord. Amen? When you realize the truth that Jesus lives inside of you and he loves you, it affects what's on your face, doesn't it? If you're the Christmas Grinch, I don't think it's going to help share the gospel with anybody else, do you? Church, do you know how much gratitude we can have in our heart to Jesus? Isn't it great? Turn to each other and say, Jesus is great.